Morning. Morning, disciples. You guys excited to be at church this morning? I count it joy in every battle because I know that's where you'll be. I think, how many of you guys just get fired up for that song? When you hear those words, when you hear that idea that in it all, God is right there with you, that there is so much more to the moments that we live in than just the moment being a moment, that there is God in the midst of everything we do and everything that we go through. Amen? Matters of eternity become clear as we rest in his mission. This morning, we are closing out this journey that we've been on throughout this entire summer, this journey of discovering the Daniel that we never knew. And as I was prepping for this morning, there was this road that I felt the Holy Spirit was wanting me to go down. And at the same time, I was fighting him every step of the way. Have you guys ever done that? You ever fight with the Holy Spirit? He's telling you to go somewhere, do something, say something, and you just don't want to? But the more that I was reading Daniel chapter 12, the more I felt nudged by the Holy Spirit to go down the road that he was leading me down. This road of talking about my mom and the times leading up to her passing and how pivotal those moments were and the spiritual roller coaster that I felt myself on, but has since been a huge part of how I look at my part to play in this world and how to count every moment the best that I can through the perspective of finding God's heart and seeing eternal matters over earthly matters. I have from time to time shared with you guys over the course of many different messages, little snippets of those times and of my life. But I want to share some very real moments and feelings that for me brings Daniel chapter 12 alive for me, and I hope that it does for you as well. And I don't bring this part of my life up to create some emotion or sympathy. I bring these parts of my life up because it was in these moments that I found God in the fire, that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was holding back the waves and was standing right there with me, where in the midst of dark times, I found his rest. As I grew in that fire and began to learn what was of eternal value and began to operate out of that instead. I believe I was about 17 years old when my mom walked into my bedroom and sat on my bed and told me that she had breast cancer. And I knew that she had been contemplating this conversation for a while. I began to learn quickly that she had been going to the doctors prior to. I just didn't know it. This was my high school days. I was playing football. I was always out of the house, so I didn't know that these things were happening. And reports began to come very quickly after that first conversation in my bedroom. I obviously then knew what to pay attention for, and we were going to doctor's appointments left and right, and it seemed as though every report that we were getting back was getting worse and worse. Many surgeries took place with no real good news to follow. And it was at that time that I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming down the road. And I hated every thought of it. It brought tremendous anxiety and fear and stress. So much so that when there were times when new news would come, new phone calls would come, doctors would, you know, all these different ways in which we were getting information of her condition, I would find myself breathless. I would find myself wanting to find the closest way out of a particular room to not face what was coming down the road. Worried, having questions, all of which weren't going to change a thing. Head was spinning, heart was heavy. And at this point, I had only been a Christian for a few years, and I began to grasp at all the spiritual straws that I could think of. I had everyone praying for her. I spent so much time at the altar. I would find people who were well-versed in praying for healings and would ask them to pray and ask them to help me. And again, I knew what was coming. But there was a shift, something that only the Holy Spirit can do, especially in the heart of a 17-year-old kid, right? Who didn't have a clue about what was happening and what was going on and what to do. And though I continued to pray for healing and believe for healing, my focus changed. I doubled down on my belief that God was in complete control. And I began to operate in a different function. I began just to love her and to share with her the light and the love of Jesus. I began to invite her constantly to church more than before. Being the only Christian in my family, I'm sure I was already probably a little annoying on the church talk in my house. But I began to pray openly in my home. I began to speak life over her openly. I began to see that my purpose in this particular matter was not to fulfill my own end or what conclusion was going to best fit my needs, but my purpose was to be about the eternal matters that was going to fit his will and his purpose. To see beyond my mission in this matter and instead partner with his, as Stu would say. And then it happened. A clarity and a rest that I had not experienced in this matter up to this point. And it all came together in my encounter with my mom at a restaurant during lunch. My mom and I had planned to go to lunch after church, after I had finished going to church that morning. So I picked her up and we were on our way to grab lunch. And we sat down and I remember the feel, I remember where we sat, I remember the conversation, but more than that, I remember how the atmosphere felt different. I remember feeling as though there was something getting ready to happen in this moment, and as before, I was finding ways to not be there. I was finding ways to not talk about what was coming down the road. Something had changed, as I said before, that I was more curious about what God was doing in this moment. And so we began to talk, and as we talked, my mom began to ask questions about heaven. She began to ask questions about all the things that I would be praying about openly in our home. She began to talk to me about scriptures that she had read in the Bible that I had given her. And we started to have this open dialogue about heaven and love and Jesus. And she began to feel as though she wasn't worthy of what I was talking about. And we began to dive headfirst into the love of Christ and all that he had done and all the sacrifice and the love and the light that he brings and his love for her. And as you can imagine, if you know me at all, as I began to dive into this love of our Heavenly Father and that love for her, the decimal levels began to grow. So much so to the point that as I finally started looking around, I started to see all of the older folks that had obviously come from church giving me a thumbs up, which felt a little weird. It was in that restaurant, it was at that table that I was able to lead my mom to the Lord. Come on. Awesome. She began to pray immediately. I'm telling you, immediately, she started coming to church with me. She dove right in. I remember her standing next to me during worship with her hands held high. There was no teaching that. There was no ramping up. God had done something very special and miraculous in her life. The circumstance was not robbing me from rest anymore. The partnering with his will in this situation brought me rest. And that, church, is Daniel chapter 12. Would you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Daniel chapter 12? If you don't have your written Bible, you can open up your smartphone and go to YouVersion and download that. And as you start looking for that, I would love it if you just pray with me. Father, this morning, as we finish talking about this Daniel that we never knew, and we come to Daniel chapter 12. Remind us about the mission that you have for us. remind us to look for eternal matters in our day-to-day life. Help us to be patient. Help us to keep our sights on you. That way we don't miss things of your kingdom because we're too busy worrying about the things of this one. Help us to see past circumstance and struggle and trouble and instead see your goodness and see your love and see your power in it all, to see your victory. Help us this morning to keep our eyes open to what you're trying to do. In your name we pray. Amen. It's the time of the end, and I'm just going to read it. I just want to share with you some key thoughts and just allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? Amen. At that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. That sounds like fun. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on opposite banks of the river. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, how long will it be until these shocking events are over? When will this be done? The man dressed in linen who was standing over the river raised both his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, it will go on for a time, times, and half a time. That cleared things right up. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. Neither do we. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the end of time. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. But the wicked will continue their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days, and blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. So we again have the end times being described to us, this great tribulation in the end times, the reality of heaven and hell, those that will turn to God and then those who won't. This time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence, it says. We have Daniel here again asking the questions, how long will it be until these shocking events are over? I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all of this finally end, my Lord? I had some of those same questions. We, Daniel, hears all of this, and I'm sure the knee-jerk feeling is, well, this all sounds horrible. These end times don't sound like they're going to be much fun. How long is it going to last? When will these shocking events be over? But by now, Daniel knows what is going to happen, right? We've been through multiple chapters up leading up to chapter 12 of all these dreams and all of these visions and these conversations with angels and hears about God's plans and his purposes and things to come. His will is going to come to fruition. Nothing is going to stop it. Daniel knows what is coming down the road. So yeah, from our limited and initial perspective, it sounds like the end times are going to be interesting, to say the least. This life that we are gifted to live, every breath given to you and I by God, are guaranteed to have interesting moments. Amen? Times of great trouble. But will we get to that place, that place that I had to find with my mom, that place where our focus shifts from meeting just our temporal ends to asking the Holy Spirit to help us to see the eternal matters in every situation and how to get to those ends instead, and doing so in his rest. It's a quote from Corrie ten Boom that says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. Simple. But to look for eternal matters in the midst of this earthly realm, it takes our constant discipline of looking for God in all we do. All that we go through. All that we experience, whether it be good or bad. Looking for God in every moment. There is rest that can be found in all of this horrible sounding stuff. Amen. When you are in relationship with the one who has authority over it all, this rest found in the truth that God's plan, his will come to fruition. We will forever be in eternity with him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The overarching importance of eternal matters being discovered every day. That reality and those truths should bring rest in the midst of this world and our struggles. And we do see that here in Daniel chapter 12. First, please remember, in all of these visions and chapter 12 being no different, it speaks of God's victory. It speaks of God's victory. Our victory in him. It's not just the struggle and the what's coming down the pike that seems so horrible. It is speaking to the victory, to the fulfilled promises of God. It says, but at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest. And then at the end of those days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. So if this is truth, and this end or trials in our lives today are going to happen, then what is our play? What is our calling? In the midst of it all, where do we find our rest? In this encounter, the angel makes a statement and then provides a response that I feel we should take to heart. Two key things that we need to remember as we live from the perspective of what's of eternal value and our rest found in those things when they become the main focus. First, he says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. This is it. This should put into perspective the matters of eternity. To lead people toward Christ and Christ-likeness. It should cause pause, and we should be able to pull back from the frantic rhythms of this world long enough not to miss this call upon each and every disciple each and every day. To live out his mission, no matter what we see coming down the road. This is something Jesus did beautifully that we're going to talk about more later. But to talk about knowing what was coming, to know what was coming down the road, and still look at every day and every situation and pull from an eternal value. Come on, guys. There's so much in life that I think we miss due to circumstances, due to struggles, due to our to-dos and our personal agendas and things that we see coming down the road that take our attention away from God's voice, that take our attention away from that gentle whisper, a divine appointment, a Holy Spirit encounter, an opportunity, something as simple as an opportunity to be a kind and encouraging voice to someone, a light in what would appear from time to time to be a dark place. We miss them. We miss it because we get too busy trying to get to the end of our earthly matters. So much so that we miss eternal matters. What eternal matters? Matters of faith, matters of prayer, matters of discipling, matters of loving and caring for others with a Christ-like love, matters of sacrifice, matters of his kingdom. Those that walk in the ways of God and those who help others to find and walk that path shall shine forever, it says. All of these scriptures, when referencing the last days or eternal matters, always brought it back to how it should influence you and I and how we live our lives today. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul spent a whole chapter talking about the resurrection to come in 1 Corinthians 15, but closed with these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And that is the truth. If we believe that this life is about the kingdom of God, and as disciples of that kingdom, being charged with the call to proclaim the love and the power and the might of our Lord and King Jesus Christ, then our lives should reflect that as our main objective. Again, to live out our days aware of eternal matters. Our main objective shouldn't be that this circumstance is happening, this struggle is happening, I need to get through this, I need to finish this, but instead to stop and say, God, what is the eternal value in this? What is it that you're calling me to do? How are you calling me to grow? Jesus saying to the church, I have you right where I want you. I have you in the here and now, not by mistake. I want you to see what I see, to speak what I need you to speak, to get beyond the matters of this world and make yourself aware of the eternal matters of my kingdom. Look for me in all that you go through. Look for me in your trials. Look for me throughout your day. Look for me, and you will be in what is, you will be in on what is on my heart. Can't read my own notes. You will be in on what is on my heart. I don't know about you, but I want to be in on what is on Jesus' heart. I want to be in on it. I want to know. I don't want to be pushed around by circumstance and struggle and this and that and going to and fro and busyness and this and that. I don't want to miss what is on the heart of God. We do that when we don't rest in his mission, when eternal matters aren't clear because we're too busy focusing on earthly matters. Chapter 12, we find the end is inevitable, and it sounds like it's going to be crazy. God's plans and purpose will come to be. Our rest is in the truth that he's got it all under control, whether we understand it or not, and that we will be with him when it's all said and done. Amen?
Amen?
Our mission is to be about the Father's business today, to be the light, to take into account eternal value in the things that we do in this life till that time. Amen?
Amen.
Not worrying about what's coming down the road, not looking to that and saying, well, what do I need to get done in my own life until we get to that spot? But until that time, our mission is to be about the Father's business today, to be the light, to take into account eternal value in the things that we do in this life till that time. We can freak out and pursue our own agendas and make great our earthly tasks and miss eternal matters altogether, or know that our call, our charge in the midst of all that this world tries to throw at us is to find rest in those times by looking for him and partnering with the matters of his kingdom at hand. I want to invite the worship team to come up, but I have a few things I want to share before we get to communion this morning. I want to spend a few of our last minutes talking this morning about rest. Because the second thing that the angel says to take note of in this instruction is this instruction that he gives to Daniel after his questions. "As for you, go your way until the end. you will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. In the Message Bible, it says, and you, go about your business without fretting or worrying. Relax. When it's all over, you will be on your feet to receive your reward. For Daniel, it was to go about the same business that he's always been a part of. We've gone through the entire book of Daniel, and we know from reading these accounts that the life of Daniel, from moment to moment, from trouble to trouble to joy, in it all, was this continued walk of faith. Going about the Father's business, remembering who God is, and looking for God in all that he does in this life. Making great eternal matters as he rests in the mission of God. As he is called to rest in the mission of God, knowing what is coming down the road, knowing what is going to happen, and him seeing it in these visions and dreams, that he's still got a mission to be a part of. He's still got something that God is calling him to do. The picture of that I see in Psalms 40 in the Message Bible, I just want to read this to you. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and I quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious and acting pious, it's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party you're throwing for me. That's when God's word entered my life, became a part of my very being. I've preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept back nothing. God, you know that. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret. Didn't keep it to myself. I told it all. How dependable you are, how thorough. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all. Let the congregation know the whole story. I told it all. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret, didn't keep it to myself. To make great the matters of his kingdom. To this world, to pause and say, Father, I know what I want. I know how I'd like this to go. But Father, let your will be done, not mine. Rest in knowing who God is. That eternal matters are made more clear when we rest in his mission. Amen? Declaring who he is to this world. Unrest is when we fall outside of that life. Unrest is when you're trying to force something of your own will into play. And there was that time in the beginning when my found the news about my mom that I was trying everything in my own power to do, that I was going through the formulas that I knew and thought that the end was the way I thought it was going to end. And then I stop. And I see that there is a greater thing happening here that God is inviting me to be a part of. True rest is faith in who God is and knowing that he is present. I had to come to the realization that God was in control, that God knew what he was doing. So because we can rest in him, we can pay attention to the things that matter to him. That comes as we rest in God. As we rest in his mission, as we rest in his will, as we rest in the reality that he is in complete control and has full authority, we can rest. And as we rest in that, we can partner completely with those things, even in times of trouble. With my mom, I went from a time of no peace to peace. And the variable that changed was where I placed the value in those moments. When it wasn't about the outcome that I needed, when it wasn't about what I was trying to accomplish out of fear or worry or uncertainty, it wasn't about accomplishing what victory looked like to me, and therefore trying to do things in my own strength, but instead it became all about proclaiming who God was to my mom, resting in the mission that was before me and placing it in the very capable hands of my Heavenly Father. Placing it in the very capable hands of our Heavenly Father. It was about finding the heart of God in that moment and proclaiming that heart to her. And as my mom gave her life to the Lord, she stood next to me in church with her hands held high in worship. All my anxiety, my fear, worry, and unrest began to wash away. I found something that went beyond the cancer, beyond what the enemy wanted to do, what he wanted to use this moment for, and instead found the eternal value in those moments. And my spirit was reminded of who God was, who he is, and is to come. Because whatever's coming down the road, God's coming with it too. There will be terrible times, and some of those times just won't make sense. But we can take some encouragement from Daniel. Go your way until the end. We aren't to worry, fret, fear, but continue to be faithful until the end. You will find rest in the Father's will. You will experience his peace even in the midst of chaos. As long as in that chaos, you discipline yourself to look for God in it all. That's so key. So go on forgiving, go on loving, go on serving, go on being about eternal matters. Because in those moments of darkness, look for the light. Look for his purpose. And you will find peace that goes beyond all understanding. I would ask if we would all stand in this place. There's a table at the center of this room. I can't think of a better way for us to solidify this truth in our lives than taking communion together. To say, Jesus, we remember what this is all about. Your people. I said earlier, this whole idea couldn't be more beautifully exampled for us than by the life of Jesus. He held nothing back. He looked for every opportunity. He knew what was coming. And he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done for me. So many points in scripture where he took simple things and gave them great eternal value. We take communion remembering the love that he demonstrated. We together find peace in the knowledge that he has everything under control. And every part of this great life that he has given to us has been perfectly woven together. So we're going to join and partner with his plan. We're going to partner with his heart. Amen? We're going to partner with eternal matters. We're going to find rest in his mission. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to ask if we would come together as a family. If you would, someone would just start by taking that plate of bread that has been broken up into multiple pieces, and we would hand that around the room. And as that part is being done, I just want to read to you the account found in Matthew 26. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We don't have the little juice glasses for you, Instead, there's a single glass on that table. And I'm going to ask that we all make a trip to that glass. And as we dip our bread in there to take communion this morning, that on your way to that place, that you would ask the Lord to remind you of eternal matters. We might be going through different things in this room, but on your way to that table, on your way to that glass, begin to thank Jesus that he was able, in the midst of all that he knew was to come, was paying attention to what meant to eternity, to the value of his of the kingdom of God. And that we would thank him for that. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So much value in our day-to-day lives if we try to keep our eyes focused on the heart of God in it all. Would you guys begin and make your journey to the table? Would you begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you saw in the midst of everything that was going on and that you knew was coming. As you described it even in this event at the table with your disciples, describing the events to come, you kept your heart, you kept your mind focused on the eternal mission. Father, let us follow by your example. Let days and weeks and months not go by without seeing and pausing and asking God, "What is the, show me the eternal matters that I need to be paying attention to. I've been so busy with my schedule. I've been so busy with my to-dos. God, I've had so many things happening to me that I believe I've missed what eternally matters to you in these moments." Let us not miss those moments. Matters of eternity become clear as we rest in the mission of the Father, being about the Father's business. Just continue to make your way. And as you do and you find your way back to your seat, spend a moment in prayer. This is an eternal moment. Don't let it just be communion. Don't let it just be an act that we do every now and again as a church. Let there be eternal value in the remembrance of what Jesus has done. The example that he is, the foundation that he has paved. The lives that we're called to live because of these moments. That we are called to be the light in dark places. As Daniel 12 says, that we are to lead people to righteousness. We are called to lead people to you, Jesus. That the mission of God is not just when things are okay, when things are good, when we don't see bad things coming down the road. But the mission of God is ongoing. The mission of God is eternal. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Even now, fight that urge to get past this moment. Just not be in a hurry. Rest is knowing who God is and knowing that He is present. He is present in this place. Let's be present with Him this morning. Father, show us. Remind us. As we go to work, as we go to Starbucks, as we go do whatever it is that we do, for those in here that might be enduring hard times, help us to take our minds off of what's coming down the road and let's focus for a moment. We can do that because we know God is in control. We know He has all authority over all matters. Father, we love You. We bless You. I would ask this morning that we spend some time in worship.